Ah, but she was the queer old skewsha anyhow, and Olivia Trinket Holmes. And sure he was the queer old one.
Stand here, you fucking bamboo, sir. Kelkusser.
Wollte der Bach sei ein Fluss, der Fluss sei ein Strom.
Oči da ne vidijo.
Blagovne znamke javnega prostora. Draga poslušalka, dragi poslušalec, dobro večer. Nocojšnje oči, da ne vidijo, se bodo spraševale, zakaj in kako je javni prostor, torej skupna javna dobrina, v povezavi s turistično ponudbo tako sistematično podvržen komercializaciji. Evropska mesta se v postindustrijski dobi namreč borijo za poseben primat, ki ga lahko zvedemo na dve premisi. Prvič, katero mesto bo postalo najbolj prepoznavno, katero bo pritegnilo največ turistov in tej množici ponudilo najbolj avtentično izkušnjo. Drugič, katero mesto bo zgradilo ali obnovilo tako infrastrukturo ali arhitekturo, ki bo to avtentično izkušnjo še bolj optimizirala, jo naredila lokalno pristno, in ji dajala pravi obraz sodobnega življenja. Zdi se, da se župani evropskih mest spreminjajo v prave James Bonde marketinga. Saj je njihov cilj jasen. Kako čim bolj napolniti mestni proračun iz turističnih prihodkov? Trume evropskih, ameriških in azijskih turistov so vse bolj na lovu za pristno Evropo, ki je zvrhana prijetno zgodovinskih dogodkov. S pravo taktiko in neutrudnim prizadevanjem za napredek si lahko ti župani odrežejo kosti bogate pogače. Vendar, ali je res vse tako enostavno? Kaj opravičuje te manevre, ki prostor zvajajo samo na en postulat, na vrednost? Dejstvo, da mestne uprave po logiki trženja pralnega praška tržijo skupno dobrino, skupnostni javni prostor, domnevno ni sporno. Prav tako ni domnevno problematično, da se ta mesta spreminjajo v velike muzeje na prostem, kjer lahko ob kopici odličnih muzejev in galerij vedno zavijete v nakupovalni del središča mesta, kjer se ob lokalnih spominkih, večinoma narejenih na tisoče kilometrov daleč, vselej znajdejo trgovine svetovnih korporacij. V Rimu lahko kupite magnet za hladilnik v obliki Koloseja, v Bruslju pa magnet v obliki Atomiuma. Udobje in vizualna privlačnost sta povsod na dosegu roke, užitki se kar cedijo iz vseh strani. V obeh prestolnicah lahko uživate v pristnih pogledih ob turističnem meniju za pičlih 15 evrov. Lokalna ponudba je do konca globalizirana in standardizirana. Edino starejša arhitektura, ki je prav tako ublagovljena do zadnje instance, še kaže na neko lokalno danost. Te taktike ali, če hočete, ti diskurzi izkazujejo širom Evrope zelo podobne mehanizme, katerim smo nasledi danes. Ob teh mehanizmih jih druži tudi podobna preteklost. Vsekakor ni naključje, da so nam mesta, kot so Pariz, Firenze, Madrid ali Berlin, privlačna kot turistične destinacije. Zato si ta mesta prizadevajo že vsaj 500 ali 300 let. Za lažjo ponazoritev te skupne preteklosti lahko povzamemo koncepcijo renesančnega mesta, o kateri piše Anthony Weidler v knjigi The Architectural Uncanny. Renesančno idealno mesto je zasnovano tako, da v dejstvenost postavi imaginarne elemente mesta, pravi Weidler. V medsebojni odnos namreč postavi tiste dele mesta, ki vzpostavljajo spominske, reprezentativne zemljevide mesta. Z renesančno zasnovo se mesto spremeni v spominsko gledališče, ki omogoča ogled tako njegovim prebivalcem kot obiskovalcem. V vseh večjih evropskih metropolah, od Londona do Pariza, oblast in urbanizem gradita mehanizme, ki potencirajo oblikovanje fantazmatske podobe mesta, ki naj bi prikazovale pravo podobo tega mesta. V tej izluščeni, fantazmatski podobi tako nastopata Eiffelov stolp in urejen center mesta, vanjo pa ne spada zanemarjena podoba predmesti, industrijskih obratov in degradiranih delov mesta z zapuščenimi in neustreznimi prebivališči. V nocojšnji oddaji Oči, da ne vidijo bomo obiskali dva aktualna primera sodobnega brendiranja javnega prostora, ki sta te taktike izluščila do zadnje instance. To sta Amsterdam in Bruž. Amsterdam. V začetku maja se je v Muzeju za arhitekturo in oblikovanje na konferenci Kaj se dogaja zbralo nekaj evropskih poznavalcev in ustvarjalcev javnega prostora. Med njimi je bil tudi nizozemski kurator in arhitekt Michiel van Jersel. Michiel je ustanovitelj spletnega portala Failed Architecture, kjer dokumentirajo spodletele primere modernistične in druge arhitekture. Je pa tudi kurator in vodja biroja Non-Fiction, ki se med drugim ukvarja tudi z reanimacijo javnega prostora v Amsterdamu. Z njimi smo se na dvorišču Fužinskega gradu na kratko pomenili o tem, zakaj se mu zdi tridimenzionalni napis I Amsterdam, ki pokriva vse več javnih površin nizozemske prestolnice, problematičen in kakšen slogan bi predlagal za promocijo Slovenije. Na svojem predavanju je sicer izpostavil problem urbane amnezije, ki se vrši zadnja leta v Amsterdamu, ko se turistični branding usmerja v povečavanje vizualne privlačnosti mesta, vendar pozablja na neprivlačne zgodovinske aspekte in potencira promocijo velikih inštitucij. Mestna uprava sistematično brandira za turistično ponudbo zanimive predele mesta, v katere obenom vstopajo svetovne korporacije s svojimi trgovinami ali pa manjši ponudniki s trgovinami suvenirjev. Amsterdam ob tem postaja vse bolj vizualno izčiščeno mesto poudarjenega obdobja, za fotografije učinkovit napis I Amsterdam pa se seli tudi v druga mesta, saj so ga preselili tudi v Boston. Michiel je ob tem, da je do tega projekta kritičen, priznal, da ta ista mestna oblast financira tudi nekatere njegove projekte, ki jih izvajajo ravno proti tem prizadevanjem turistične mašinerije. Uvodoma smo ga vprašali, s čim se ukvarja portal Failed Architecture.
Failed Architecture is a research vehicle that we started 3 years ago. It consists of a group of people with a shared fascination for failure as a productive force. And we're focusing on buildings that are neglected and urban areas that are derelict. And we're trying to figure out what went wrong. So we're deconstructing those places and what were the milestones in the development and trying to reassess them. So sometimes they're being perceived as failed, but we find out that that's actually a misjudgment. And sometimes they are wrongly seen as a success and then we condemn them.
So which is your favorite kind of worst case?
Favorite worst case?
Yes, that you presented at Failed Architecture.
Well, we do a lot with that deals with modernism as an architectural style. Also, be like 80% of the globe is covered with modernist architecture. And we do a lot about ruin porn, like more industrial sites. Well, think of Detroit, for example, all those derelict buildings. And I am interested in that, but everyone is. So I'm more interested in the very contemporary examples of failure, like iconic buildings from super well-known architects that were never materialized, for example. They just stayed on the drawing board. Or that were actually realized, but stayed vacant. Or in the case, for example, of a Norman Foster building in Las Vegas, they had to be demolished even before it was opened because of all kinds of technical flaws. So I really like this, the acceleration of architecture in the last few years and then the downside of that.
So at this conference you presented the problem of branding a city and the city of Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Can you explain which are the positive and the kind of say negative sides of this branding and how do you approach this kind of branding with your activity in Amsterdam?
Well, I'd say that city marketing branding comes from a genuine pride in the place where you live. So I think that's the fact that we have a city that we care about and that most of us love and people from outside want to live or want to visit. I think that's a good thing. But then how you package that and how you try to sell that, that's another thing. And then there are different options. And now I think it's a very one-dimensional representation of what Amsterdam has to offer. It's all about the canals, it's all about the glorious past, about the big museums. But I think what makes Amsterdam really such an interesting place is the people who live there and the attitude that they have, and like more on a micro scale, the activities that happen there. And that's completely overshadowed by all the bombastic big buildings that are showing through their campaigns. So I think it's good to be proud of that part as well, but it should be more balanced. So I'd say it should include more marginal things as well.
So what are your activities that you've done with this? You have a kind of bureau, this nonfiction.
Yeah.
What did you do, for example, some kind of examples?
Well, we organize all kinds of cultural events throughout the city and outside of the city and abroad. And in this case, it's not so much an attack as it's more a response to this whole city marketing and glorifying of the city. So we opened up some forgotten alleys in between canal houses that were hidden from view for the last few decades because people put up doors there, and we unlocked them and we invited artists and architects to intervene and come up with small temporary installations and artworks that would explore the potential of these spaces, and also an attempt to give them back to the public because they used to be public space and now they're privatized. So it was about exploring those spaces and also adding them to the public space of the city.
So what do you think is the future options or future possibilities of public space in general in Europe? What can it offer? What's the meaning?
I guess it makes up 90% of all the space that's there. So I think it has a lot to offer. With global warming, it becomes more important because we spend more of our time outside. Mm-hmm. Well, if you think of Europe as becoming one big open air museum, which is the prediction of some very cynical people, then public space become like the gallery spaces, and then the buildings become the paintings that are hanging on the wall. But I'd rather see it as an active space where people can actively engage in public life, and where there's space for different opinions and different expressions. So I think we should safeguard that aspect of public space and not turn it into one big open air museum.
But do you think there are some kind of tension we should be worried about? Tension, I don't know, between the some kind of neoliberalistic approach or the public approach, or can be solved so that the
I corporations find neoliberalism a difficult term, so I'd rather not use it.
Okay.
I think it's confusing. But if you look at the facts, if you look at those spaces and if you see what's done to them, for example, here in Ljubljana, I get the impression that it's highly sanitized and scripted and pedestrianized and made more comfortable. But the downside of that, I guess, it becomes more exclusive. So it's only for the people who want to stroll around, who have money in their pockets and to spend it at the bars. And so if public space becomes an exclusive space, I think that's something to worry about. And I don't think it's only corporations who do that. It's us, like collectively, we're complicit in that, because we do spend our time there and we spend our money in those public spaces, and that fuels that same mechanism. So it's not like the government, or we are as much part of it. And as when it comes to Ljubljana, I raised the question here at the symposium, what do you think of that? And nobody gave an answer. So I think you should be more outspoken about what is being done to that space. And if you agree that it's going in the right direction, that's also fine with me, but try to articulate what's good about it and also what the potential threats are.
So I wanted also opinion about branding about Slovenia and about Ljubljana.
It should be Slovenia. Is no, that?
I feel Slovenia.
Yes,
kind of love in between. Yes.
Oh, not.
It's written like this. No, Slovenia. And this is love in between.
No, it should be slow, and as in slow food. And yeah, because this is really the feeling I get here. I've been traveling a lot in Les, but this is really where I can relax and where you can slow down. This is like pristine, it's authentic, it's real, it's a slow country and slow city. So it should be Slovenia.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about Slovenia? So you already answered. How do you feel about Slovenia? How do you feel Ljubljana? Because, you know, if you're paraphrasing your I Am Amsterdam, how do you feel about Slovenia and Ljubljana? But you already told me.
Who am I to say anything sensible about? I've been here twice now, and I really enjoyed it, and I met a lot of nice people, but I don't know. I haven't been here when it was raining, for example, so maybe it's super dreadful. But the impression I get is that you have your strong traditions, and you have your language. You're also still you're coming from your own particular history, and you're doing it in a very particular way. But I think you should try to be. You should try to avoid becoming a new Salzburg, for example. So I've seen some things here that really reminded me of Salzburg, and I don't think you should go down that road. So I think you should try to stay true to yourself, find the power within, and not be persuaded to copy any other city. I think you have much more to offer.
Javni prostor je domena skupnosti. Možno ga je uporabljati na nešteto načinov. Če ravno vladajoče taktike razvoj vse bolj usmerjajo v samo en utečen mehanizem. Kot je poudaril Mihiel, je osnovno vprašanje, ki ga velja usmeriti v vse bolj obsežno oblagovljanje javnega prostora, to, kaj to prinaša prebivalcem teh mest. Zagotovo sistematično brandiranje podobe Amsterdama z napisom I Amsterdam prinaša večjo razpoznavnost mesta in ogromne profite za občino ter tamkajšnje izbrane muzeje. Vendar je ključno vprašanje, kaj prinaša njegovim meščanom. Ali je mesto zaradi tega boljše? Veliko prej se zdi, da ustvarja elitne predele mest, ki so namenjeni samo maksimiziranju profita. Bruž. V belgijskem srednjeveškem mestu Bruž z nekaj več kot 100 tisoč prebivalci se prav tako zdi, da so taktike ublagovljenja javnega prostora dosegle svoj paradigmatski višek. Bruž je že vrsto let ena glavnih turističnih znamenitosti Belgije. Z Amsterdamom pa ga med drugim povezuje tudi to, da ima pravijo severne Benetke. Saj je prepreden s kanali, po katerih lokalni turistični ponudniki neumorno prenašajo obiskovalce iz daljnih in bližnjih krajev, ter jim razlagajo bogato zgodovino mesta. Po ozkih ulicah, na katerih domala ne srečate nobenega lokalnega prebivalca, se trumoma vozijo kočije s turisti. Celoten center mesta je spremenjen v en sam velik muzej na prostem, po katerem se sprehajajo obiskovalci s slušalkami v ušesih, saj jim vodiči ob sprehodu razlagajo peripetije v tem ali onem delu mesta. V pritličju stavb se dobesedno ena ob drugi vrstijo trgovine s pristnimi belgijskimi spominki. Izbirate lahko vse od zasoljenih izdelkov iz belgijske čokolade ali ročnih izdelkov, kot so čipke in tapiserije, katerih večina je narejena na Japonskem ali kje drugje v Aziji. Mesto na dan obišče po tisoče turistov, ki sem pridajo na dnevne izlete. Po obisku gotskih katedral in bližnjih muzejev pa posedijo na katerem od estetsko zelo privlačnih trgov. Enega od kanalov, kjer se zadržujejo labodi, so celo poimenovali v Jezero ljubezni. Vse z namenom, da bi z vodenim in organiziranim scenarijem ogleda mesta, ki so ga snovale ekipe turističnih delavcev in kar vam prodajajo kot pristno, avtentično izkušnjo, privabili še več turistov in bi iz njihovega žepa iztisnili še več denarja. Fantazmatska podoba mesta je v Bružu izdelana do popolnosti. V središču mesta ni sledijo smetih, grafitih, o drugih kulturnih mehanizmih ali skupinah, ki ne bi sledile prevladujoči miselnosti. Mesto je spremenjeno v popoln scenarij užitka, ki sledi taktikam maksimiziranja profita. Vsi ostali aspekti so marginalizirani. Če za konec pustimo to logiko kapitalizma ob strani, je, ko se razmišlja o Bružu ali o drugem javnem prostoru, končno vprašanje to, kaj lahko v teh mestih sploh počnete brezplačno. V čem lahko zares uživate, če se vaša denarnica ne odpira non-stop? Užitek se v tem primeru kritično skrči. Veliko manjša pa bo tudi vaša avtentična izkušnja. Prav pristnost in avtentičnost nekega javnega prostora pa sta vhodna točka za to, da se lahko ta začne učinkovito komercializirati. Če te pristnosti ni, jo lahko tudi ustvarite. Paradigmatski primer tovrstne fantazme je Skopje, kjer je mestna uprava ravno zaključila obsežno rekonstrukcijo mestnega središča, ki v svoje jedro postavlja spomenike domnevni burni zgodovinski preteklosti tega kraja, kot je kolosalni kip Aleksandra Makedonskega. Kaj si obetajo od tega baročnega gledališča na prostem, ki z zgodovinskimi dejstvi pravzaprav nima nobene zveze, je že vnaprej jasno. Za konec tega kratkega pregleda, ki še zdaleč ni sistematičen in celovit, saj nakazal samo na nekatere drobce aktualne komercializacije javnega prostora, lahko samo še vprašamo. Kam že potujete to poletje? Ali bolje? Kje boste kupovali te počitnice? Po javnem prostoru in njegovih blagovnih znamkah se je sprehajala Mateja Kurir. Brala sem Pija, za tehniko je skrbil Makis.
Wollte der Bach sei ein Fluss, der Fluss sei ein Strom.
Oči, da ne vidijo.